to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and today I'm excited because we have a bonus episode of the podcast. Recently, our Director of Strategic Partnerships, JT Toms, sat down with one of the best student-athlete development people in the industry. Her name is Jessie Gardner. She's the Assistant Athletic Director of Student-Athlete Enhancement at the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. This is particularly exciting for me because I love the University of Alabama and I'm a big fan. But they had an incredible conversation because one of the challenges that Jessie faces is the same challenge that people face at all kinds of organizations, not just athletic organizations. They sat down to talk about how do you get buy-in from the people above you. For her case, it's how to get buy-in from your athletic department when you're building your student-athlete programming. I don't know anybody listening has been in that situation before. How do I get other people, the people above me, and maybe my peers to understand what I'm trying to do? So this is an amazing conversation from somebody who's best in class at what they do. Let's listen in.
Greetings. I am with Jessie Gardner, the Assistant Athletics Director at the University of Alabama. Jessie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Jessie, you know, we're doing this focus on student-athlete enhancement, and you are one of the best in the business. I have had the undeserved privilege to get to work with you at multiple different times, come in and see some of the work that you've done. And as I have this interview with you, what I'm hoping to unpack is learning more about how you developed this incredible leadership program from scratch, how you got 100% buy-in from coaches and athletic directors and SWAs. I mean, you've just got everybody obsessed with your program there, which is awesome. But I want to rewind a little bit because you didn't just wake up one day and have everything on a red carpet for you. Take me back to when you first got into, they didn't call it student athlete enhancement. I think they called it life skills, right? And you were out at Nebraska coming in as a graduate from UCF, soccer player. Tell us about coming into this role and what that was like for you moving from student athlete into life skills director.
Yeah, so it actually started even before Nebraska because I was a graduate assistant at the University of Central Florida. And that's where I really was exposed to this idea of student athlete development, which, as you mentioned, was called life skills pretty heavily back then. And I was so fortunate to have an incredible mentor in this field. My first mentor, who is continuing to do incredible things, Marcus Sedbury, and he is at Baylor. And he really helped me uncover a passion that I didn't even know fully existed, recognizing that I loved engaging people and I loved being able to help individuals, but then being able to add sports and use the platform sports to do so really kind of unlocked and released this excitement in me that I had never felt before. So I was fortunate to be under his leadership and learn a lot about it from a standpoint of being able to develop a very new program at UCF. It was really only in its second year of existence at that point when I served as a graduate assistant. So while I was a GA, I was working as if I was an assistant director, and Marcus pushed me and he challenged me and he encouraged me. And through that, I felt very prepared when I went to the next level. And I remember when I got to Nebraska for this interview, I was super excited. I was very happy to have this opportunity. And I remember sitting at my very first group I interviewed with. It was probably about four or five executive members of their staff. And I'm at a table thinking, my heart is pounding out of my chest. And I had prepared the best I could, but I was at the table and I noticed within it, like the second question, I'm leaning on the table. I'm leaning forward. I felt like all of a sudden I was controlling the conversation. And that's where I really knew that the passion was so far within me, and that I had this expertise that Marcus had truly developed for me or helped develop in me, that it was just starting to take over. So that was a really neat experience. But when I was at Nebraska, I had the opportunity to also be under another incredible person, Keith Zimmer, who's been in this industry a very long time and is really, I used to tell him he was the father of life skills.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He is. And he's continued to just build an incredible program at Nebraska. But being under his leadership, which was different than Marcus's, also taught me a lot. And at Nebraska, it was not about building a program from the ground up, but it was about sustaining success. And so learning that aspect was really important in my development as well, because when I got a call from Alabama about the potential of coming down and creating a program here, they literally told me in the interview that they wanted me to build something from the ground up and then have it be one of the top in the country. And that's exactly what I felt that I had been developed to do from my experiences at UCF and at Nebraska, two incredible programs under two incredible mentors. So to me, as I started really understanding what this opportunity would be, not just at Alabama, but this opportunity to develop people and to help them see potential and believe in their potential and build the confidence to pursue that potential. It's been a job I would never have looked back. So.
Well, I mean, you're doing such a phenomenal job, and I love hearing your expertise and who you've learned it from. I mean, you've always been such a humble person, giving credit where credit is due. But Jesse, you are doing a phenomenal job now at Alabama with this program that you have built from scratch. You've pulled from the great minds of Marcus and Keith, and now you've created something that has your fingerprints on it. And, you know, as a outsider who's been able to come in, you know, we've partnered, Grown Leaders have partnered with you for several years. I have just always blown away when I see the complexities and the intentionality and the buy-in for what you've created. You know, there's a lot of student athlete enhancement directors out there who want to create what you've created, but they lack that buy-in. You know, there's athletic directors who may not be on board, or coaches who may not be as engaged. Talk to me a little bit about how do you go about getting that buy-in? What does that look like? It's because it just seems difficult.
Yeah, I think the buy-in is probably one of the most crucial components. And the problem is athletics is such a fast-paced atmosphere that a lot of times we have to keep moving whether we have buy-in or not. And so I was fortunate that when I came in at the middle of the spring semester, and I had some time to listen and learn. And that was the very first thing I did, is I scheduled meetings with people in all different departments and with our leadership, and also surveyed our SAC student athlete leaders, which at the time I did not oversee and was not supposed to have much engagement with from a standpoint of leading or advising them, but I worked with their advisor to organize those surveys and really wanted to find out, you know, based on the plan that I had in my head, which I did bring with me to the interview. I think that's part of it, is you had to, you know, I guess I had to look at it and say, is this a job I want? And if so, what does this look like? And for me, because I am structured and I am incredibly organized in the way I think, in the way I do things, I had to outline what this could look like. And that helped me better say, yeah, I want to do this. This is something that Alabama needs and that I'm excited that they want to implement, because at this point, it gave me a framework and I was able to use that framework and then and really alter it and develop it based on the leadership here and the student athletes here and really what their needs were. And aligning it with the vision and mission of our athletic department was really crucial as well. So from a standpoint of gaining buy-in, I think the vision was super incredible crucial in being able to gain that buy-in. Aligning it with the vision and mission of our athletic department was huge to get the buy-in and understanding of our executive staff, because if I could show that we were supporting what they have implemented, then that continues to drive what we as Alabama are as a brand and as an organization. From a standpoint of the coaches, again, listen and learning. So I went in with them and I gave them just a very general view of what I wanted to create based on what I was charged with creating. And from there, I was able to ask questions and learn from their perspective that, you know, what do they see as some of the major issues with student athletes and different generations of students? What do they, you know, as far as their time commitments and schedules, you know, what concerns them, what is available to them, when are the best times of year, when do they typically practice? So just getting a better understanding of how everything operated here was important. And I think the coaches, having that meeting one-on-one with the head coaches, allowed them to feel like they had a say in what was about to be developed and built. So the communication piece was big. Once I really learned the needs here and I could really start developing that program, then the communication piece became even bigger. And that's where, you know, sending out information and a calendar of events and coming up with what this program could look like. But again, constantly meeting with people and constantly making sure, is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything that's not, you know, on here? Because as much expertise as I brought to the role, there was a lot of expertise that I lacked because of the culture here and not knowing it and knowing that there was going to be people I needed help from. So really in the creation of this program, as much effort as I put forward, there was also a ton of people who really helped me build this to get it where it needed to go. And from a buy-in standpoint, I think people feeling heard and then seeing what they said being activated and put into application really helped build some of the buy-in as well. And then moving forward, as we've developed that program, I think the other aspect continues with communication, but it comes in the form of recruiting. And that's really where I think when you can tell these potential prospects what experience they're going to get at Alabama, it heightens the level of Alabama as a potential institution they want to attend. And when you were talking with a mother and a father and you were letting them know that you were going to take care of their young child and help develop them into being young adults and young professionals and leaders, then I think that makes a huge difference as well.
Well, I mean, I literally feel like I need to listen to that 17 times because there is so much meat in it. I heard you talk about just one of the things I love about you, Jesse, to know you it is to like you because you have such emotional intelligence. I mean, you know, you play chess, not checkers, as Dr. Elmore says, and you threw out some things in there. It starts with listening. The meetings that you've done with your coaches one-on-one to get their thoughts, to get their participation, to get their weigh-in so that they can feel like, oh yeah, I do want to support this because Jesse's got my best interest at mind is phenomenal. And I also love how you figured out the love language of coaches, which is recruiting, right? You understand that, man, if I can help them get the right people on the bus and then I can enhance them once they get on the bus, there's no way they wouldn't be engaged. It's just so much intentionality that you've done. I think sometimes it can be scary for a life skills person or a student athlete director to say, you know what, I'm going to try and schedule a meeting with the head football coach. You know, I think Alabama, you guys have some pretty big coaches there. It can be intimidating to schedule those meetings and to get their time. Tell me when you're going about, especially when you were getting started with this and going about these meetings, how did you go about getting them to prioritize time to come meet with the, you know, the old student athlete director?
Yeah, I think that it's important to, one, know who you're talking to. So even if you don't know them personally, if you don't know much about them, maybe understand just a little bit about them by asking your academic advisors or other individuals who work with them. You know, are they the type of person that just want the nuts and bolts? And how do you continue to play chess with them and not checkers? You know, you've got to think about what are the things that are going to resonate most with them? What are their needs? And if you don't know their needs and that's what you're going to ask them, you know, have a plan in place as far as being able to just talk about some of the simple things that you do that you think would be valuable to their program or valuable to the support of their student athletes based on what you've seen yourself with their student athletes. So I think knowing the person or at least having an understanding of who you're about to walk in with allows you to plan it very specifically. And as you previously mentioned, you really do play chess with them rather than checkers. And from that conversation, you take up as little time as you can. You know, you are not asking for a 30-minute meeting for somebody who has meetings all day and practice and all kinds of things. You might ask for 15 minutes of their time. Identify the questions you want to know and prioritize those, because if you get off on a tangent with the coach, they start talking about some stuff. You may not hit every question, but what are the two or three that are super important for you to have their feedback from, and then what are the two or three that maybe can be kind of if you have time. So I think being intentional with the time that you have, watching the time you have, if you schedule 15 minutes, be true to those 15 minutes, because again, that's their first take on how credible you are to what you say. I'm asking 15 minutes of your time. I'm only going to take 15 minutes of your time. And then being able to follow up. I think follow up is so crucial, and it surprises me that sometimes that there isn't more of that with, you know, professionals in all working spaces. But just recognizing that follow up is so crucial. The other aspect, and this is something I've had to learn, I haven't been perfect at it at all times, and I constantly am still learning it, but you have to also wear confidence whether you feel it or not. Mm-hmm. So if that means you go and you look at yourself in the mirror and you give yourself that pep talk, or you put on some hype music or whatever it might be that gets you going, you got to do whatever you got to do. But when you walk in that office, know what you want to say, even if it means you've practiced it, even if it means that you've looked over the notes 1,000 times. Go in with confidence, have your main points that you want to get across. And when you walk away, if you didn't get everything done you needed to, you can always follow up. You can always schedule another meeting. But at that time, get as much out of it as you can, follow up with whatever information they need, and then follow through with whatever you promised.
I love what you just said about confidence, and you so live this out, Jesse. You know, there are two women that come to mind that I just, every time I'm around them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be like you when I grow up. And I feel like you're just it's the duck on the water mentality. You and Tiffany Daniels, you know, with the SEC, both of y'all remind me so much of each other, and you just always have this poise, this confidence, this humble, ambitious attitude of, I care about you. I'm not better than you, but we're going to get this done, and we're going to do it with a smile. And nothing ever stresses you out. I doubt that's true, but from when I look at you, I'm like, man, this girl's just got it all together. She's figured it out. What do I need to do? So you live out.
If I've hit my stress meter, then that's a pretty good thing. And compared to Tiffany Daniels, or put on a level with her, man, I feel very honored. She is a rock star.
Oh, well, as you know, Tiffany always says, JT, I'm just a duck on the water. I'm a duck on the water. But, well, Jesse, you are doing just so many things well. Thank you for sharing just even a small sneak peek of behind the curtain. We are going to be having Jesse at our Roundtable for Athletics on December 2nd and 3rd. We're going to be diving even more. We'll get to hear from great people like Jesse, like Cricket Lane from North Carolina, and Dr. Tim Elmore as well. If you want to come to that, it is an invitation-only event. So if you didn't get invited and you want to be, please email impact@growingleaders.com. And we'd love to see if it could be an event that you could attend. But if you did get an invitation, you're not going to want to miss out. Thanks again, Jesse, for joining us today, and appreciate you being a growing leader.
Oh, I appreciate you all, and I love being in partnership with you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
What an incredible conversation from JT and Jesse. If you're listening to that and you identified at all with some of the difficulty that you have getting people above you to understand what you're trying to accomplish, then I want to tell you about a really special event that we have coming up, an event called the Roundtable for Athletics. And what's amazing is Jesse is going to be there at this event, so you'll be able to connect with her and actually learn more from her about this topic. This exclusive forum is designed for senior associate athletic directors, senior women's administrators, program directors, and anyone else in charge of college student athlete enhancement programming. And it's designed to better help you understand the secrets of student athlete development. We know there's a lot of challenges when it comes to leading the next generation. And what we're trying to do is create a forum, a round table, where you can meet other people who have your position and sort of get some of the best practices from Dr. Elmore and from our team, other leaders around the country, about what it looks like to lead these students well. I hope you can attend. To find out more information about it, just go to our website, growingleaders.com, and click on events at the very top, and you'll see the Roundtable for Athletics there. As always, we invite you to follow us on social media. You can find at Growing Leaders on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find at Tim Elmore on Twitter. If you have ideas for this podcast, different people that we should talk to, different ideas for subjects we should talk about, please send us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love hearing from you, getting your suggestions, and really making good on those. Thanks so much for joining us and listening in. We'll see you next time.